CSC Research Coordinator Casey Luskin recently gave a talk on evolution and intelligent design, in which she presented some of the biggest problems with the argument for Darwinian evolution. In this segment, Casey discusses why often cited evidence for Darwinian evolution from embryos and vestigial organs is actually false.
I want to get into this part really quick because this pertains to a diagram that some of you guys might have actually seen in your textbooks. How many of you guys have ever seen a diagram showing comparisons of embryos in your textbook like this, okay? It's very common. The purpose of these diagrams is usually to say that they're comparing the earliest stages of various vertebrate embryos. And here in this diagram, you see the earliest stages of embryos of a fish, of a turtle, of a pig, of an ape, and then on the far right, of a human. And so the claim that's being made is that in the earliest stages of their development, these embryos are very, very similar. And this supposedly shows that they share a common ancestor. That is the claim that's being made. And the question is, are these drawings accurate? We'll often see in biology textbooks these kinds of drawings, and it says similarities in development of animal embryos indicate that they share a common ancestry. However, these diagrams are often based upon the faked drawings of the 19th century embryologist Ernst Haeckel. And it's now known that these drawings actually were fraudulent. They're still used in textbooks today, but they were fraudulent. They actually overstate the degree of similarity among vertebrate embryos in their earliest stages. And if you look at actual vertebrate embryos, they actually start off looking very differently, maybe something kind of like this. And so the fact here is that different organisms have different patterns of development from conception onward, and the phrase ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny, or development reflects evolutionary history, is not supported. How many of you guys have heard this phrase, ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny? Anybody? Okay, normally when I say this, the really young folks in the room haven't heard of this phrase, but usually it's sort of the folks from the older generation that have heard this phrase. The reason why is it was very commonly taught, especially maybe for my parents' generation, that while an organism develops, it sort of replays its evolutionary history. So the claim is often made that as we develop, that we actually started off going through a fish stage, and then we went through an amphibian stage, and then a reptile stage, and eventually we got to the mammal stage. Well, it's now known that this is not true. And most biology textbooks today do not teach this anymore, but I mention this because it has been taught to many people, and I've actually known people who believed in evolution because they thought that it was true that we went through a fish stage or an amphibian stage while we were developing, but it's now known that it's not true. So these diagrams, however, are still in textbooks. This is from a 2013 textbook by Donald Prothero, who was right here in LA at Occidental College. We'll often also hear about vestigial organs. How many of you guys have ever heard of vestigial organs? How many of you guys have ever heard that our appendix actually is a useless vestigial organ? It's an organ that was left over from our evolutionary ancestors, and we don't need it anymore. And every once in a while, it gets infected, and so we take it out because we don't want it to kill us and blow up, you know, and burst. But we really don't need the appendix, and you can live just fine without it, right? Has anybody in this room had their appendix removed? Oh, yeah, appendicitis. Okay, a few of you guys, yeah. So you look like very healthy, normal people, right? I mean, I don't know you very well. You look perfectly healthy. So the truth is, yes, you can live without your appendix. Does that mean that it's a useless vestigial organ? The answer to that is no. And I have some bad news for you guys who had your appendix out, but it's actually been said that people who've had their appendix removed have a slightly higher rate of certain types of cancer, like colon cancer. Now, I'm not saying you're gonna get colon cancer, I'm just saying there's a slightly higher rate. Well, why is that? That reflects the appendix's actual function, which is it has a toxin removal function. It also has another interesting function. How many of you guys have taken antibiotics and afterwards your tummy was a little bit messed up, right? So what do? You go to the drugstore and you get probiotics, which are those little pills that are full of like 10 billion bacteria packed into that little tiny pill, right? It's kind of like, oh my gosh, I'm eating 10 billion bacteria right now. Well, those probiotics then help to replenish your gut so that your gut has the good bacteria you need in it that help you digest food. Well, it turns out that that's another function of the appendix. It actually can serve as a storehouse of good bacteria and probiotics for your gut. So there have actually been a number of medical doctors that have recognized that it's wrong to call the appendix a vestigial organ. This is a quote from a biologist at Duke University. He said, many biology texts today still refer to the appendix as a vestigial organ, and it's time to correct the textbooks. And actually today, what's interesting is now when somebody gets appendicitis, They will remove the appendix as a last resort, but they first try to treat the person with antibiotics to try to save the appendix, because it's better to not remove it if we don't have to, because we now know that it performs certain functions. How many of you guys have ever heard that our tailbone is a useless vestigial organ that reflects the fact that we are descended from tailed monkey-like ancestors? This is, oh my gosh, it's so hard to believe that they would say that the tailbone is a vestigial organ, okay? You don't want me to come out and remove your tailbone, all right? First of all, you won't be able to sit. Second of all your guts would fall out. And third of all, I don't know what will happen next, but something very bad will happen, all right? The tailbone serves as a vital muscle attachment point for many of the muscles at the bottom of your body that basically hold all your guts in. So the tailbone, evolutionists will claim that this is a holdover from the tails of our supposed primate ancestors, but in fact, it's an important structure for attachment of tendons and muscles and ligaments to support the bones in our pelvis. What about the thyroid? I'm sure none of you think that the thyroid is a useless vestigial organ, right? That's just left over from our evolutionary ancestors. You're right, it's not. And I don't think any doctors today believe that it is. But in the past, evolutionists have assumed for decades that our bodies are full of useless, unnecessary parts. There was actually a time when evolutionary scientists believed, because of their evolutionary view, that the thyroid was an unnecessary vestigial organ. And I actually met somebody once after a talk I gave who said that in the 1950s, his mother was having thyroid problems, and because the doctors thought we didn't need it, they irradiated her thyroid and killed her thyroid. Needless to say, that did not help her, okay? That made her problems worse. The thyroid is vital for regulating our metabolism. We know that very much now. So it's amazing, though, that in the past, because of their more misguided evolutionary views, doctors have thought that certain organs were not necessary, and they actually radiated them or took them out. The thyroid is an example of that. So I think that actually evolutionary science has led medical research and medical practice in the wrong direction. Thinking tip, be skeptical. Just because a diagram or fact is presented in a textbook doesn't mean it is backed by the evidence. Do your own research to see if there are other sides to the story.
That concludes part of this series by Casey Luskin on the biggest problems for Darwinian evolution. Stay tuned for more episodes.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2015. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.